Hello, church, and this is Pastor Bill Winston coming to you by technology. Glory to God. Well, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, it's good to be here, good to be in the Word of God, just around the Spirit of God, and just knowing that as we are speaking words, that these words are manifesting life wherever they go. Praise the Lord. So praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go into the Word of God again. Now, we're going to start here again with Romans chapter 4. We're still in this area, we're talking about taking ownership. And then we came down to a place where we're talking about seeing the invisible. And where the overall series is called Training for Reigning. So we want to look at, again, a bit more in terms of our training and how we're to reign as believers here in this earth in these last days. So let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus and thank you so much for the word and thank you for the anointing on me in these lips of clay that I may speak forth your word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. I ask you to think through my mind, speak to my lips, and this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. Lord, we love you and we thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles confirming the word preached. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God. All right, let's get our Bibles. I'm going to read again in Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, we were talking last time again about this seeing the invisible. And this whole idea of seeing the invisible is something that you and I were created to do. Now, let's start at Genesis, and let's start at Genesis chapter 13 in this particular teaching today. And we're talking again about seeing the invisible. Now, I'm going to explain something as we go there, and just I want to just read that scripture, because what he spoke to Abraham is something that is key for us to keep in mind as we go into this teaching. He says here in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now, notice what he said. He said, now, I want you to look to those different directions. And all the land that you see, I'll give it to you and to your seed forever. Now, every piece of land, pardon me, every piece of land that he could see, he was going to give him. Now, he wasn't talking about with the natural eyes, because the natural eyes are very limited in what you can see. I mean, you could see part of the, you know, community around you, a few houses and so forth and so on. But you can stand some part in the city and can't see the other part of the city. But in this particular case, he's saying, okay, now as far as you can see. So he wasn't talking with just his natural eyes. He was talking about vision. And this is something that goes beyond our natural ability. Now, he was gracing Abraham with all of this because he was going to use Abraham as a father of the faithful and those who are in faith. So now, as far as you can see, now what can you see? Now, let me give you an illustration. I talked about this before, where when I was a boy, I used to rush home after school because Superman came on television at 3:30 in the afternoon. Well, I'd rush home and, you know, get to see Superman. Well, we didn't have a television, so I'd go up to the neighbor's house and I'd go and I'd watch her television. Well, at that time, they didn't have cable and all this modern stuff. So you had an antenna on the outside of the house And some people had some, you know, what they call rabbit ears on the television, but she had an antenna outside. And because we were in Tuskegee, Alabama, the closest stations were Montgomery, Alabama, which is 40 miles away, or on the other side, Columbus, Georgia, which is about 50 miles away. So sometimes I'd go up there and the signal wasn't coming in clear. And so I'd have to really stretch my imagination, because along with me hearing the noise of the people speaking, Superman, hello, I'm Clark Kent, you know, so forth, then there was some snow on the television. In other words, we call it snow, but it was interference. It was, the signal wasn't clear. And when the signal isn't clear, now I have to kind of, you know, stretch my imagination and so forth. But sometimes it came in real clear. And now, to the point that as I was looking at that over and over again, it was a type of meditation. And what was happening is I was transforming my thinking without me knowing it, to the point that when Kellogg's Frosty Flakes had a promotion where they said if you sent a box top with 50 cents back to the company, they'd send you a Superman shirt. Well, I saw that box top, got me 50 cents, sent it, and got a Superman shirt. Now I not only could watch Superman, but I could watch him dressed and ready for whatever I needed to do. I mean, this thing was overtaking me now. I understand. I'm beginning to see something further than what my eyes could see. That's what I'm trying to get to you, because you were designed to not only see what could be seen physically in the three-dimensional world, but you were designed to see also into the fourth dimension. And in fact, that is where Adam was created in the beginning. He was created out of God. He came out of God. He wasn't created like a bird or a fish. He was created out of God. He came into this earth in the image, meaning exact duplicate of kind, and the likeness of Almighty God. So he came with an ability to be able to see not only that which you can see with the natural eyes, but his spiritual man was so that there was no hindrances like there are now. I mean, because of the curse that came in the earth because of Adam's fall, there are a lot of hindrances now. There's a lot of interference. There's a lot of things. And now man is more flesh than he or she is spirit, where in the beginning he was more spirit than he is flesh. And so everything that he did on another level. In other words, when Jesus walked on water, what he was showing you is the way Adam functioned, that gravity did not control him. And all of these things. So you can see that mankind had some efficiencies that people don't have today in this natural world, because you're dealing mostly with fallen man. But when Jesus came, he came to restore to us the years that the cankerworm had eaten, or the caterpillar had taken away, the results of the curse. He came to redeem us from the curse and put us back there. That's why when Peter said to him, you know, when you saw him walking on the water, he said, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, well, come. See, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to get the disciples and humanity back up to the place where they belong. That's why he came preaching the kingdom of God and repent. Repent means to go back to the original. Re means to return, and to change your thinking. And what was keeping mankind where he was, he or she was, after they had gotten saved, were their thinking. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, don't operate and act like or think like this world anymore. But there's a higher way to think. So anyway, I'm still at this as far as you can see. So now I, you know, start working, and I tell you, the next thing that started happening is a box top came, and I finished another cereal box and ordered another shirt, and pretty soon I had a shirt for every day of the week. And I looked at a picture recently of me and a picture with the basketball team. Do you know I'm the only one that's got a Superman shirt on? My point to you is that I want you to see how we function by images. And these images are designed, this is the way we were designed, that as these images come into us, these images eventually would express themselves on the outside. And these images basically keep us where we are. In fact, I think I made some notes on that where I talked about images. Well, anyway, we are created, and we'll go into that. We'll go into it some more later. But so this image is inside of me, and I mean I'm consumed by this thing. Now, the spiritual part, or the part that isn't physically manifested, is becoming more real to me than the three-dimensional physical reality. It's becoming more real. I mean, this thing is starting to take me over. I go in Mom's house now, and you know, she starts fussing at me because I got a sheet and tied around my neck and begin to run, you know, a cape, and all the things that Superman was doing, I'm trying to do. So now I'm thinking, now I'm going to get up on this garage, and I'm going to fly down here to Wendell's house and visit Wendell. So now this thing is really consuming me now. And I'm becoming more of what I'm seeing here, this image that's being portrayed. Now, it's a type of meditation because meditation is designed to create a spiritual experience inside of you. And you know, you ever heard the expression, experience is the best teacher? Well, not necessarily a physical experience, but the spiritual experience. In other words, the Holy Ghost is the best teacher because one of his jobs is to paint a picture of a reality inside of you and me that is higher, on a higher plane than anything we can see in this natural. And so as we meditate the word, we give him the opportunity to paint a new picture on a canvas of our hearts. And so that kind of thing. Now, so once I got up there and, you know, of course, I didn't fly and hit the ground. Now, the point was, though, God told Abram, as far as you can see, I'm going to give to you. Now, that was in chapter 13. In chapter 15, he told him to come and look at the stars. He said, now count how many there are. Well, he couldn't count them. He said, so shall your seed be. Now, notice what he's given him. He's given him spiritual sight. He's causing him to see something that he hadn't seen before. Now, we brought out a fabulous truth in what we said last time, is that God never blesses us beyond our mental capacities. And you can know that from the scripture that says in 3 John 2, that, beloved, I wish above all that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God's way of prospering his people is through their soul. How about another place in Proverbs 23:7? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, thinking is extremely important because basically what you think is where you're going to end up. And that's why over in Isaiah 55, he said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So no wonder, because it starts with the thinking. So what we said is that one of the things that happened is God sent Jesus to restore to us the place that we had fallen from and to cause us to really operate on a level that we had never operated on before, as not as the human race, but as our own beings, to bring us up. Now, let me cover something else. So now what I'm saying to you is that the Word of God is the reality, meaning that heaven and earth in the beginning were not two. They were one. This first heaven, they were one. In other words, this is the spiritual realm is where you and I were born from. This is born again. That's where you and I were born from. And when Adam sinned, a division came between this heaven and this earth so that the provisions that were in heaven were not any more accessible, that we had to live with what was down here in this earth. And there is much, much more in the spirit realm than there is in the realm of the natural. Okay. So when Jesus came, he brought back our ability to access this spirit realm. Now, everything is there. I was reading a book lately, and he's talking about the things that are there. Body parts are there, and all kinds of music, new music is there, and inventions and so forth. All those things are there. They're in the spirit realm. Now, I want you to go to a scripture with me, because we're still talking about this in terms of coming to this verse of verse 17 of Romans chapter 4, and verse 17 in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, where he says, Abraham called things that be not as though they were. Because what we have to do is you and I have to plant the heavens. That's what it says in Isaiah chapter 51, that we're the plant of heavens. So what we saw over in Genesis chapter 2, let's go over there real quick before we go to this other scripture. Genesis chapter 2. All right, let's look at this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Let's just stop right there. So God made these trees, planted these trees. Now, where were the trees? The seeds for the trees were in heaven. The trees were in heaven. Got the seeds, planted them in the earth. Now this earth is now bringing forth because of the blessing and the power of God acting on that seed to bring it forth. There was no rain, all of that stuff like we know today. There was none. And God can grow a plant in the earth without rain. He did it over in Genesis chapter 26. He did it for Isaac. He told Isaac, don't leave this country. He said, just sow in this land of famine. And with the blessing that was on Isaac's life, it's the power to produce or reproduce. And so that blessing caused things to grow where nobody else could. I mean, Isaac ended up owning everything. I mean, his house was bigger than the king's house, you know, because that's what the blessing does. It causes this increase in any places. But here's what I want to show you. That the Word of God now is what God has given us. Now, if you turn to Matthew chapter 13, and this is where we didn't get last time, Matthew chapter 13. Over in Matthew chapter 13, if you notice, just about everything that Jesus did in the earth, he spoke it. In other words, words were what Jesus was using to do a lot of the planting and things that he did in this earth. Whether he was speaking to a fig tree, whether he was speaking to a storm, was speaking to a dead man, he was using words. And look what it says here in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. Another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge under the branches thereof. Now, what is he saying? He's saying that once the seed of the Word of God is sown, it becomes greater. All right, let's take, for example, somebody has sickness or disease. What they can do is sow the word. And the word, once it's sown, will grow up and become greater than the sickness. You follow what I'm saying? So now, if that word is in me, now wherever I am scattered or planted throughout the earth, then that which is in me begins to manifest. And the Word of God is designed for hostile environments. It's designed for environments that either have no water, environments that are abject famine and poverty all over the place. It's designed for people who have been on other religions, no matter how strong they are. The Word of God. Look at what it says over here in Romans and Romans chapter 1. Over in Romans chapter 1, God says this in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, what is he saying here? He is saying that this gospel is the power of God. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, it says the word of God is quick and powerful. In other words, there's nothing more powerful than the word of God. The church has the word of God, which is designed to annihilate any works of the devil. Jesus, the Bible says, was the word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Now that's found in John chapter 1. And then it says in verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Let me give you another translation. The word took upon itself flesh and dwelt among us. So whatever there is in that environment that the word needs to manifest, it will take it. In other words, there is, Lord have mercy, I want you to get this. Because, you know, just like us believing for a new facility in Canaan land and all this land and everything, I'm not concerned where it's going to be. I'm just going to speak the word. You see, what has happened is the people of God have been struggling because they're still trying to operate on the level that we were before we got born again. And we're in another place now, folks. And certainly the enemy tries to keep the church operating in the natural by first keeping down its identity of who we really are. But we're somebody we never were before. We can speak things into existence now. We have the very nature of God. And I'm saying that as we come into a place and begin to decree the word, well, the Bible says we'll reign as kings. Well, what does a king do? He just decrees. But there are people who are around him that carry things out. The Holy Ghost starts to move. The word of God comes alive. The anointing starts to work. Angels begin to flow. The Bible says they hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord God. And so I'm just saying, look at all the things that you have carrying out, making sure that what you spoke will come to pass. And that's what I'm trying to say. Now, the way you got to see this is you got to operate in the invisible. You've got to not see yourself on the three-dimensional level. Because if you're there, you can't command three-dimensional things. The way you command three-dimensional things is you've got to go up into the fourth dimension. You've got to see yourself as spirit, because that's what you are. You have a soul and you live in a body. So now I'm going to operate on that level. Now, once I operate on that level, I begin to see things that I've never seen before. And so now just me having to leave my company and come full-time ministry, hey, I couldn't leave. But what I did is begin to meditate the word. And once I start meditating the word, I begin to see something. I begin to see where I was going clearer than where I was right now, just like Superman. And so what did I do? I called that phone. I said, baby, I'm leaving this company. Now, the company had been good to me, paying me good money, so forth. But hey, where I was going was much more vivid and much more of a reality and much more more potent and more profitable than where I was right now. I couldn't wait to leave. What happened is I went and told my boss that I'm leaving the company. He said, wait a minute. He tried to talk me out of it. He said, well, take 2 weeks off. Well, he thought something was wrong with me. He thought I'd been overworked and so forth and so on. And he gave me 2 weeks off. Well, that was a mistake because I came in here and started looking at some more Superman. You follow what I'm saying? I got this thing inside of me and I came back and he said, well, Bill, how do you feel now? He knew I was going to say, well, I came to myself and I guess you're right. No, I didn't say that. I said, hey, John, I'm not only leaving, but I'm leaving now. Whoa. I mean, this shocked him. Now, my point, I wasn't trying to upset the man. I'm saying I couldn't wait to get to my destiny because it was more real to me. Now, if you look at Hebrews chapter 12, look at it real quick. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I want you to see this because that's what it says in Hebrew when it's Hebrews chapter 11, when it says Jesus was, that Abraham was searching for a city. See, he's searching for that city. He could see something. And look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down to the right hand of the throne of God. Now, if you look at that scripture, he says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, he's talking about seeing something that is not visibly seen, because this reality of heaven is more, just as real and more real than the physical reality that we're in. And then he said, let us lay aside every weight, meaning that the assignment that we're here for should become our priority. And you will find that when that assignment is not the priority, that there is a inability to see things, meaning that, and I wrote it down here somewhere in my notes, I said that the more you depend on the world, the less light you receive from the kingdom. The more you depend on the world. So my point to you is that there is a reality out here. This is the only thing we're trying to do now, is get you to see the invisible. Because if you can see the invisible, you can leave where you're at. Many times we're stuck in that comfort zone of not having enough and so forth, because we can't see the land of more than enough. But God has given us a capacity to see that. And the world can't see it. That's why they're stuck in it. But you got to realize that, hey, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. That I know people say, well, we're all children of God. Hey, wait a minute. The Bible says over in John's gospel, in verse 12, 1 John chapter 1, verse 12, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. To as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power. Over in John chapter 8, Jesus tells him in verse 44, your father's the devil. See, we're in a different family. That's what he's doing. He's transferring our inheritance out of the hands of people who don't suppose to have it into the hands of the people who do suppose to have it. Not only the earthly inheritance, but he wants to transfer what you have in heaven. I mean, if you have something wrong with your body, he doesn't want you to go any longer with that. You know what I mean? He wants you to have enough faith to access that reality and pull that into your life. He doesn't want you to struggle and be without and so forth and so on. That's not the way his child is supposed to live. That when you come home, you get the authority, you get the provision, you get every need taken care of, so forth and so on. So I'm saying this is what we're trying to do. We're attempting to paint a clear enough picture, or either give you the guidelines so that you can paint a picture of really what God has for you. You know, I make a confession, and I have to confess that it's a pretty big confession. Now, I don't like to say what I confess, because when you do, some folk get jealous because they don't have a confession, or they don't have a dream, or they are just kind of in this world trying to, you know, get some fire insurance and then wait on Jesus to come. Well, that's not what he told us to do. He told us to occupy till he comes. In fact, that you and I are the ones that are supposed to not only see this earth as our inheritance, but the saving of every soul is our responsibility. I mean, that's what we've been equipped to do and provisions to do. I mean, he's given us enough to take care of business, folks. And so, but you can't do it if you're just in the three-dimensional realm. You got to come up in that fourth dimension. And the way we do it is, one, I'm a new creature in Christ. I am not like that man that's not saved. Our bodies may be the same, but I'm different from him. I'm something that I never was before. And I'm not saying that to have us to look down on somebody. I'm saying that many times what limits us is only believing that we can do what others have done. And the others who we're talking about are the others who don't even know God. And even if they do know God, they've been religious and haven't been able to operate in the supernatural as God has called us. We've been born for the supernatural. Folks, anytime you're going to have been born to walk by faith, you're born for the supernatural. Because faith calls you to do something that natural man cannot do, or a natural person. Now, so let's go back to this again, because I want you to see the unseen. Because the unseen is more real and more powerful and more provision than that which you can see. When we're talking about transfer the wealth of the wicked in this earth is crumbs compared to what God has already given you. It's crumbs. Take my word for it. How do I know that? Because I've seen it. It is absolute crumbs. What he has for us, go back and look at Genesis 41 when you get a chance, and look at Joseph and how many storehouses he put up. He put up so much provision till it could not be counted. And I think in the natural, you can't count it. There, it is not enough numbers to count the provision that he has for us. So my point to you is, once you see that, then your economic struggle is over. It's over, folks. You know, those things that are revealed are for us and for our children. And so now let's just look at I got to end this, but let's look at this. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he endured the cross. He despised the shame. And so when I was leaving that company, I despised the shame. Why? For the joy that was set before me. See, I saw something that other people couldn't see. If you can see something other folk can't see, you can go somewhere other people can't go. Believe me. And so I went somewhere, and I'm telling you, I saw 10,000 people. I saw me preaching to them. I saw multitudes such that you couldn't even see the end of them. I saw it. Now, what had happened? I now, with this image inside of me, began to operate in this reality. My decisions, my recognition of resources around me or things coming to me or whatever have you, helped to make this so. Now, here's what I'm saying. Let's just end with this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians now in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look what it says about you and I. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Now, that's a verse I want to finish up on. Now, let me give you just one thing. Now, I ask you to start praying over in Ephesians chapter 1, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I ask you to pray that every day for 7 days. Why? Because I want to get your eyes open to this thing. See, because a lot of times we're stopping our blessings by what we're thinking and what we're doing and or what we're speaking. And if you look at this, remember Joshua and Caleb? They said, hey, we are well able. Let us go up at once and possess this mountain. Well, the others said, we can't take it. Now, their thinking caused them to say all kinds of things and so forth that were against God, and they end up dying in the wilderness. You know the story. But if you come on over and look in Joshua further over there, I think it's Joshua chapter 14 or so, you will see that there was one more mountain to take in Canaan. And Caleb said, give me this mountain. He said, I am as strong today as I was back 45 years ago. I'm just as strong. And I'm saying, look how his speech even preserved his life. Look. This man one time said he had a man, he was a physician, and this patient was to get an operation. And the patient said, just as sure as you operate on me, I'm going to die. He refused to operate on him because his words control, your words control the center of your nervous system. And that's what this neurosurgeon found out. That was Dr. Cho talks about in his book, The Fourth Dimension. He talks about how this man said it, that speech center also controls the nerve center. And so when people say, well, you know, I'm getting old, you know, watch them. Watch those nerves begin to atrophy. Watch them begin to stop being active, so forth and so on. And I'm only saying that to say that you and I are created for another dimension. But the enemy tries to make us think that this three dimension is all there is, and as far as we can go, folks, that is just the tip of the iceberg. We can operate so much far above that third dimension until it's just laughable. So what did Abraham and Sarah do? They called themselves Abraham and Sarah. Now everybody around them thought they were crazy for doing it, but that's a shame. That's what you got to understand. You got to be willing to see this thing clear enough that you're not ashamed. Because they can't see it, they'll laugh at you because they think you're a little off because of what you can see. But I'm praying for you right now that the first thing you'll start seeing is your inheritance. And let me tell you, if you catch a glimpse of it, see, that's why people, some people, you know, die and death makes fear come in on people, fear dying. Folks, I believe if God showed the average person what heaven was like, they said, let me out of here, boss. I got to go. My point to you is that everything, this earth was designed to be like heaven. It wasn't designed to be separated. It was an extension of heaven. The earth was a child of heaven. Just like you got a child, and that child is something like you, that earth was supposed to be like heaven. And so we now have the responsibility of producing this heaven on earth. And how do we do it? Mainly by thinking and speaking. Because once we do, the word is the seed. And it's designed to cause things to happen, to come to pass, whatever we speak, no matter how hard that situation is. Speak into it. Decree something, and it shall be established. And that's what God says in his word. Now, this is a powerful teaching. I trust that you've got something out of it today. Now, where do you go from here? Now, where you go from here is try and get a good picture of who you are, because that's where it starts, who you are. Because if you know who you are, that it's interesting how everything else comes much easier. Because if you know you're a king, then you know how you're supposed to live. You follow what I'm saying? And if you know that God is your father and that heaven of this earth is not the boundary, the matter is not the boundary of how you can exist, then it's amazing how you can start operating in the spirit. You know you're spiritual. You won't struggle with anything anymore. Just speak to the thing and decree something over this thing. And I'm telling you, that's the kind of power and authority that he gave you. Like I said, when I asked God, I said, God, you know, I want to go play tennis. Now, open up me a tennis court. He said, you open one up. Praise God. Man, he gave that authority back to me. He's saying, you got authority over this earth. Now take it and run with it and reign as a king in life in Jesus' name. Well, that's all we have. Well, this is Bill Winston. God bless you. See you next time.
Oh, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. If there's anybody here this morning and you need to be on the winning side, you have not yet made the decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, Pastor Winston just expressed so eloquently how we are not like them, that we have benefits, we have opportunities in the kingdom. If you're here this morning, you know you need to be in the kingdom of God. I want to pray for you, but I want to know who I'm praying for. This is what you do right now. Stand to your feet and make your way to the altar. You need Jesus.